In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. In his short story, Death and the Compass, Jorge Luis Borges relies heavily on an ancient Greek paradox, Zeno's dichotomy, to bring his tale to a dramatic close. The hero, Detective Eric Lonrot, seeks to solve a complex set of murders placed geographically around the city based in a pattern on the ancient Hebrew four-letter name of God. Three crimes are committed, and the fourth is left for the detective to anticipate, unaware that the criminal is banking on the detective's intuition in order to draw him into an ambush. Spoiler alert, shortly before the detective is killed by his arch nemesis at the end of the story, he goads him for creating too complex a trap. In your labyrinth, he says, there are three lines too many. I know of a Greek labyrinth, which is a single straight line. The paradox Borges references here begins with a simple premise. To walk to the end of a path, you must first walk halfway there. To walk halfway there, you must first walk a quarter of the way there. But if every distance is divisible by two, how do you ever reach your end goal? Paradoxes. Fortunately or unfortunately, they abound in the teachings of Jesus. Come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains but a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. In his late night discourse with Nicodemus the Pharisee here in John 3 before us, Jesus presents another paradox as he draws a parallel between his work as Savior and the narrative of Moses and the bronze serpent. His efforts to cast himself as a fulfillment of the type set by Moses' serpent on a pole stems from Nicodemus' confusion to Jesus' earlier words. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. And in fitting form, Jesus responds to Nicodemus' confusion, how can these things be, not only with a symbol familiar to the learned Pharisee, but with the paradox which lies at the heart of the gospel itself. Death as the gateway to life. Think of the absurdity of the solution with which Moses, through God, offered to the people of Israel as they lay stricken by venomous serpents. Turn to this very symbol of the death which struck you and find healing. Imagine how initially cruel this must have seemed to the men and women as they lay dying on the desert floor. A brazen death lifted high above them, said to be a beacon of life. But is this not the same call that we received from Jesus 2 weeks ago? If any of you want to become my disciples, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Think, too, of the head-scratching foolishness of this gospel. A Jewish peasant, a carpenter, nailed to a tree, executed as a political prisoner by the Romans. This is the way to life? I think this is a paradox for us, because the gospel of Christ calls us to turn our hearts to see a truth we have conditioned ourselves to be willfully blind to. Is it not our tendency to shut our eyes to the parts of our hearts which we have barred to God's love, the venomous wounds which ail us, by and through which we harm one another? Are we not led by a world which seeks to distract us from our deep need for something more, with flashing baubles and cheap entertainment? Are we, as a society, not content to avert our eyes as we pass our homeless neighbor, to shrug with paralyzing apathy as we witness yet another school massacre, or numb ourselves from our own brokenness with yet another substance, yet another relationship, yet another career goal? The cross of Christ shatters our illusion. It disrupts our complacency, and it confronts our brokenness head on and says, this is the way to life. It stands as a beacon, but in pointing the way to God, when the light shines, it shines most painfully in the darkest corners of our hearts. You see, to step onto the path which it illuminates for us is to willingly begin the process of dying to an old way of being. It is the death of the shallow life, a life centered only on personal gain, a life centered on focus or focused on pleasure or temporary happiness. It is the death of old patterns of behavior. It is the death of the grip of the past upon us. We must first pick up this heavy cross of this realization before we can enter into the new life of resurrection promised to us by Christ. There is no other way. And we rejoice this Sunday, this Rose Sunday, in the midst of Lent, a paradoxical time which Sergius Bulgakov calls a luminous sorrow, because we have a certain hope that on the other side of this cross lies an empty tomb. We only have the strength to undergo the death to self required for true repentance because we anticipate the dawn of Christ's resurrection, which dispels the darkest night of the soul. It is the sorrow of Calvary which gives Easter its strength and joy. It is against the backdrop of honest repentance that the certain hope of God's eternal mercy shines brightest. But this repentance, this death to the old life, is not a ritualistic browbeating. It is not a call to self-loathing, but it is an invitation to see that God has so much more in store for us, and the invitation to step into a life of bravery, into a new existence. True repentance is animated by hope. And so I invite you to walk this dolorous way with me these remaining weeks of Lent. Rejoice with me, paradoxically, in our period of sorrow, for we know that this leads to the resurrected life. Turn and look to the man on that tree. Look and be saved. Consider how, in the words of the author to the epistles to the Hebrews, you are called to lay aside every weight and sin that clings to you, and run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the perfecter and pioneer of our faith. Die, that you might live. Amen.